And as you know, we have been talking about Paul's last letters, which are his first letter to Timothy, his letter to Titus, and then his second letter to Timothy. And in our progression through 1 Timothy, we're in chapter 4. And the way we've gotten there is that Paul has written this letter to Timothy telling him, hey, I want you to stay in Ephesus because I'm very concerned about some of the teaching going on in Ephesus that might not be proper, might be outside the realm of what Jesus told us to teach. And Paul was very concerned, and we've talked about Peter's concern in this regard, Jude's concern in this regard, and even Jesus' concern in this regard, that once Jew and Gentile became part of this new group, the bride of Jesus Christ, that there would be an ongoing attack on this group, much through false teaching. And we've spent a lot of time on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 5, where Paul has really hard things to say about certain people that teach certain subjects. And we've talked about the fact that Paul teaches very clearly in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ taught the same thing, that there would come a time when the law of Moses would be fulfilled. And Jesus spoke of that when he said on the cross, "It is finished." The law of Moses is finished. And Paul speaks a lot about the fact that the law of Moses is finished. And Paul's concern then becomes, in Galatians and a lot of these letters, he becomes very concerned about his ethnic brothers who are believers in Yeshua that are teaching Gentiles and Jews alike that they need to observe Torah in order to have a right, in order to trust Jesus and walk in his path. And Paul has a lot of problems with this, and he's very hard on these people. So we won't read 1 Timothy right now, but I do want to read the Ten Commandments. One of the issues that we've had over 2,000 years in terms of trying to reach people with Paul's message, which is the Bible, that the law is over, is that it does include the Ten Commandments. And so people are very, especially church people, are very, very offended if you will tell them what Paul teaches, that the Ten Commandments are fulfilled, they're no longer in operation. They tend to think that you must be a lawless person. And you gotta take some time and take some work to get them through the Bible to show them, and we've done all of this on our outline here, that no, Paul doesn't teach that you're lawless, we're just under a new law. And so if you take a look at the outline here, the law of Moses versus the law of Messiah, what we covered last week was the purposes of the law of Moses, and Paul discusses some of the purposes of the law of Moses. One of them was to reveal sin. Believe it or not, the law of Moses was there to make us sin more, lead us to Messiah. The other thing we talked about, the fact is that you can't separate pieces of the law. You can't take the Ten Commandments and separate them from the rest of Torah. Similarly, you can't take certain of the Ten Commandments and separate them from the others. The Bible is clear. The law is the law, and that's what James teaches. Talked about that as the unity of the law of Moses. Three is controversial in the church today. The law of Moses is no longer in effect. It's done. It is fulfilled. That's the instruction of Jesus. That's the instruction of Paul. And believe it or not, Paul refers specifically to the Ten Commandments in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 when he says, this is a ministry of death. Now, where we come to, and we need to talk about some more, is this law of Messiah in Roman numeral 4. We looked at Jesus' instruction on the law of Messiah, Paul's instruction on the law of Messiah, James' instruction on the law of Messiah, John's instruction on the law of Messiah. And where we want to spend a little bit of time today and more next week is, what are some of the differences between the law of Messiah and the law of Moses? There's a lot of similarity, and that's where it can get confusing, but there's still substantial difference. The big ticket item we can focus on today and then the rest of next Friday is the Ten Commandments. Let's talk about why they're not in effect anymore. And so I think what we should do is take a look at Exodus chapter 20. Now, again, in defense of Paul, or the Rabbi Shaul. He doesn't teach that we're lawless. And he actually teaches that many of these commandments are in effect under the law of Messiah. But as the Ten Commandments, as we call them, they are part of the law of Moses and they are rendered inoperative as such. Chapter 20, verse 1, then God spoke all these words saying, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Shabbat, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Shabbat for the Lord and your God, and in it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Verse 11, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is within them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Shabbat and made it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Verse 18, all the people perceive the thunder and the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Verse 19, and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, or we'll die. 20, Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you, why? You may not sin. Verse 21, so the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Verse 22, then the Lord said to Moses, you shall say to the sons of Israel, you yourselves have been seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. You shall not make other gods besides me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. Verse 24, you shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. Verse 25, if you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it of cut stones, for if you wield your tool on it, you'll profane it. And lastly, in this chapter, and you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. So the question I want to ask, give me 5 minutes, it's a holiday. What's the fourth commandment?
Number four is remember the Sabbath day and keeping it holy.
Okay, perfect. Now, does the Bible tell us that that's the fourth commandment?
No.
Okay, good. What's the 11th commandment? What's the 11th commandment?
613.
Yeah, it's right here actually in verse 20. See if you can find it.
Do not be afraid.
Yeah, that could be. I take a look at verse 23. You shall not make gods beside me. I think that's a restatement of the first commandment, or what we would call the first commandment. There's a debate as to whether the commandments are numbered right or wrong. The Bible does not say this is the first commandment, just a series of commandments. But you could say in verse 23, you shall not make, but that's a restatement. I'm looking at verse 24. I'm thinking the 11th commandment may be presented in verse 24. You shall make an altar, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. So does anyone believe that we need to be keeping the 11th commandment?
No.
Yeah, I would hope no. Because Paul would definitely say that is big danger if you're teaching to keep the 11th commandment. Right. That is serious danger.
Once God shed his blood.
That's exactly right. Okay.
The 20th verse there, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. test you.
Amen.
The fear of God will be with you for the sin.
Amen.
That fear is so very important. You're testing of this lawsuit.
Yeah, it's true.
Start to analyze that. There's a fear. You have a fear in that. There's a fear of the unknown. Because you don't really know what's going to happen.
It's true.
But your trust in the Lord is testing. Fear him, not
the That's right. And I would say, Carl, that I am afraid of it. I'll be honest with you, because it could destroy me financially.
Yeah.
But I have greater fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I fear him, and therefore I need to obey him. If he says fight, I need to fight, even though it's scary. If he says walk away, I'll walk away. Yeah. That's a great point.
See, even if you lose everything, you haven't lost the Lord.
Amen.
And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And see, that's hard to really conceive, even though, yeah, I understand that, but do you really understand it? You know, it comes back to the point of, I know that I'm still, you know, but you don't, you're not in total faith yet.
That's true.
And at what point do we become faithful 100%?
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's the point, and the other point I wanted to make here is, let's focus on the Ten Commandments. Who are they given to?
The Jewish people.
Yes. Take a look at, this is clear. This is clear. Don't forget this. Verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 1. Then God spoke to all those words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Who is you?
Jews.
This is Israel. Okay? This is Israel. Take again, if you're doubt, take a look at verse la, 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 22. Thank you, Paul. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, this law, these commandments are for Israel. And believe it or not, we don't have time to do it, but we've established it before. If you believe that the Mosaic law is still in effect, then Israel is still separate from Gentiles. And we are hope. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we as Gentiles are without God and are aliens from all of this, what's going on here. We're hopeless. It's only because these Ten Commandments have been fulfilled that we can even approach the Jewish Messiah. Now, it is true, and we'll talk about that, we'll adjourn after this, and we'll talk about it next week. It is true that 9 of the 10 commandments are reincorporated and come back to life as part of the law of Messiah.
Yeah.
The 11th commandment has nothing to do with the law of Messiah. We are not to be engaging in the 11th commandment. Similarly, the 4th commandment is absent from the law of Messiah. And we'll talk about that more and why that's the case, yeah, next Friday. So with that, I'm going to ask if Richard Miller would close us in prayer, and then we'll meet again next Friday.
Lord, we thank you so much for your love and for your faithfulness, for watching us, Lord. Thank you that we are entering into a new year, Lord. We pray that you would watch over us and have your word be deep in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for this time to study your word in this group, Lord, and the fellowship we have with each other, and fellow Christian, fellow believers, members of the Ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
We just ask your blessing, Lord, to go forward with us this day. And keep your word in our heart, Lord, and help us to start a new year
stronger
and with more courage and with more energy and more hope that we will serve you as you would have us do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.